But the Framingham Heart Study found that by the age of 50, most people had lost 40% lung capacity. By the age of 80, most people had lost 60% lung capacity. Why is that? It's because they're not exercising. They're not moving. So if you have lost lung capacity, you can regain it by implementing the high-intensity interval training. If you have lost lung capacity, you can regain it quite quickly by stretching those lungs every day, breathing very, very deeply, which you automatically do when you do the high intensity. And if you do the high intensity every day, you will not lose your lung capacity. The lungs is where we take in the oxygen to feed that energy cycle inside the cell. And remember, that little energy cycle, when it has oxygen, it can give you 18 times more energy compared to a cell that does not have oxygen. Does this explain why so many people are tired today and have no energy? It's that lack of oxygen. On page 127 of the Ministry of Healing, one of my first health books, the author says that the eight laws of health are the true remedies. And we've looked at pure air, we've looked at sunshine, temperance, rest. Going back to pure air, you might remember I said the most powerful way to oxygenate the body is exercise. So we've come to law number five now, which is exercise. God designed that this human body be in daily activity, and in that activity is its preserving power. What's a preservative? It's something that stops you going bad or off. And whenever I meet people in their latter years and they're looking good, I know they exercise. What does exercise have to entail for it to be a preservative? What does exercise have to entail for it to be so potent? Well, there are a few requirements, but what I'm going to introduce you now to is a type of exercise that is the most potent, the most powerful, and yet the shortest. It's the high-intensity interval training. As the name implies, these are intervals of high intensity and intervals of recovery, often called HIIT. It's a very popular form of exercise today, and you're about to find out why. So let's have a look. Let's define it first. So you've got high intensity. What's high intensity? High intensity. So it's anything that gets your heart rate up or respiration increased. So this can be running up hills. This can be push-ups. This can be jogging on the rebound. This might be swimming very fast. This might be walking up a very steep hill. It's anything that increases the respiration and increases the heart rate. Recovery. So what's recovery? For my husband and I, we run up the hills at Misty Mountain and then we walk down the hills. So there's our recovery time, is walking down the hill. What the research shows is that if you are doing something in your recovery time, it's more potent. So if you're not running up hills, if it's the exercise bike, in fact, most of the research has been done on exercise bikes. And the beauty is the person's holding on. So if their balance isn't really good, they've got something to hold on. If there are ankle problems, knee problems, hip problems, you haven't got as much weight on the knee, hip and ankle as you are if you're walking or running. So they're holding on and they can cycle for their life for the 30 seconds and then maybe slow cycling. If you're walking up a hill and you're halfway up and you're needing a rest or you're ready for your recovery, it might be just moving the upper body. So your I do this 10 down, 10 up, 10 back, 10 forward, and then your arm circles. So doing your upper body. So it is more effective if you can be moving much slower, because remember, it's your recovery time. And then this is done for a cycle. The first time this was documented was before the war. A German physiologist was training his Olympian athletes with the interval training. He did it because he found when it came time for the event, they had an edge. They went a little bit longer, and isn't that what it's all about? Because in, for instance, the Olympic Games, it's the best from every country, and sometimes there's a split second difference between first and second. A lot was lost in the war. And the next time it was documented was Tabata, who was a Japanese trainer, and he was training his figure skating athletes. And he found that the interval training again gave them an edge. And what he got his girls to do was a 20-second very high intensity with a 90-second recovery for a cycle of six. So this is doing it six times. High intensity recovery, going like that in a cycle. Dr. Doug McGuff, in his book Body by Science, he suggests 30 seconds high intensity and a 90 second recovery for a cycle of six. Do you remember when I began, I said I'm going to show you the quickest exercise there is and the most potent. So what we're looking at is, I'm going to be generous here, this is 15 minutes a day. Everyone has 15 minutes. If you don't think you've got 15 minutes, it's time to assess your day. What are you doing with your time? How much time do you spend on your iPad, on your own iPhone, on the television? When you realize what this does, you will begin to realize you can't afford not to do it. One lady said, oh, I exercise 3 days a week. She said, how often do you do it? I said, every day. It is so good, and the effect it has on the body, you'll get addicted. Once you realize what this is doing for you, you will do it. One little book I read was called Counsel on Health. The author said, in a short time, you will so realize the benefits of pure air and exercise, you would not live without these blessings. And I memorized that sentence because that is exactly what I have found. So you choose the high intensity. It's whatever you can do. Your recovery time is your indicator of your fitness. In his book Pace, Dr. Al Sears, he gives a story of a lady who did 15, no, she started with 7 seconds. 7 seconds high intensity, and she needed 15 minutes to recover. Now, not many people are quite that unfit. But if you are, notice his book Pace, the first word P means progressive. This is progressive. What you cannot do now, you will be able to do. Just keep at it, keep at it. Maybe the next day she can do 8 seconds high intensity, and her recovery time, instead of being 15 minutes, will be 13 minutes. That's why it's a good idea to write your times down, because it will be very encouraging for you when you see the progression in your own fitness. What I'm very thankful to Doug McGuff for is he takes you inside the cell. So we're going to go inside the cell and have a look at what's happening with the high intensity interval training. So remember, the glucose goes in, it goes through a 20-step pathway, and the 20-step pathway gives us 2 units of energy. This is the anaerobic pathway, which we looked at earlier. The end result of the 20-step pathway is a chemical form of glucose called pyruvate. And pyruvate, as the chemical form of glucose, it gets fed into what's called the powerhouse. We call this part of the cell the powerhouse because of its ability to give us 36 units of energy. We also defined how this is the aerobic pathway. Aerobic meaning this is the pathway that uses oxygen. Earlier in the week, we looked at how glucose goes to the liver. And the liver, number one, sends it to the cell. Number two, it's stored as glycogen. And number three, if there's any left over, it's stored as fat. We also discussed how the high carbohydrate diet, releasing so much glucose, is one of the reasons so many people are overweight today. So let's draw our glycogen. Glycogen is another name given to quick release glucose stores. So these are little molecules of glucose just sitting in the muscle cell particularly, waiting to be called on. And then we've got our fat stores. So what I want to show you how the high intensity interval training can give a reversal of the process we saw earlier. What I didn't tell you earlier was that this is a very fast pathway. And this one is a very slow pathway. But as you're sitting right now, these pathways are feeding quite nicely into each other. But when you're running for your life with the 30 seconds high intensity, if you don't think 30 seconds is very long, try it. When you're running for your life, it seems forever. So let's say we're getting to the end of our first set of 30 seconds high intensity. It's early morning, which is the best time to exercise. Don't exercise after you've eaten, because most of your energies is going to your stomach. And if you exercise then, the body's going to try and pull some of the energy that should be digesting down to your muscles, and you're going to get a little bit of a war there. Best time is early morning, especially if you've had a good night's sleep, especially if you are well hydrated, which is vital to be able to release these little glycogen stores. So we're to the end of our first set of high intensity. We need fuel. And so what the body does is it plucks those little glucose molecules and feeds it down the energy pathways. Plucks another one, feeds it down. Plucks another one, feeds it down. That's where we get the energy. That's how I had the energy to run up the hill this morning. By their probably third set of high intensity, the glycogen stores have run out. What's the body going to do now? It's got more fuel, more stores, there's more fuel in storage. Here it is over here. The most amazing fuel depot in the human body are the fat cells. And because the body's needing that fuel, the pituitary gland releases the human growth hormone. The human growth hormone is active while we're growing. Probably not a surprise to you that I haven't grown since I was 16. My son William grew 2 inches from 19 to 22. Boys can often be growing a lot later. Once we stop growing, the human growth hormone goes into retirement until it's called upon. So when we're doing the high intensity interval training, we basically are causing a bit of a crisis on the body. We need help. So the human growth hormone is activated. When the human growth hormone is activated, it releases hormone sensitive lipase. Hormone-sensitive lipase is an enzyme that breaks down fat. When we look at fats and how they're digested in another lecture, we will see that sublingual lipase breaks down saturated fat, and pancreatic lipase from the pancreas breaks down polyunsaturated fats. This lipase breaks down our fat stores. The human growth hormone causes a release of hormone-sensitive lipase, which allows these fat stores to be released. The human growth hormone stops burning glucose as fuel and becomes a fat burner. The reason for this is that glucose, it runs at 4 calories per gram. Whereas fat, it runs at 9 calories per gram. Now, this information is in psychedelic colours in every weight loss book as the reason why we should stop the fat if we want to lose weight. You've probably heard that theory. But what they don't understand is what a calorie is. A calorie is a unit of energy. So if you want a high energy food, what do you eat? Dr. Robert Atkins, He blew calorie counting to the wind. He showed very clearly that you can have a 2,500 calorie a day diet that is all carbohydrate and you can put on weight. And you can have a 2,500 calorie a day diet that is predominantly fiber, proteins and fats, and you can lose weight because there's calories and there's calories. We also looked at how the brain loves fat as fuel, because look, fat's going to give more than twice the units of energy that glucose will give. No wonder when the body really starts moving, it stops burning glucose as fuel and it becomes a fat burner. The human growth hormone also increases the body's ability to utilize protein. In this series, we've looked at the importance of protein. We looked at how 50% of the membrane around every cell is protein. We looked at the importance of eating sufficient protein to build muscle. Protein is an essential nutrient, so it's important to eat adequate protein. It's important not to drink with your meals. If you drink with your meals, you water down the digestive juices that break down your protein. We're going to look at this in detail when we study the gut. So we need to be eating adequate protein. We need to be drinking between our meals and not with our meals. But also implementing the high-intensity interval training causes a release of the human growth hormone, which increases the body's ability to break down protein. The human growth hormone also increases the circulation of the blood to the skin. This slows down aging. This slows down the wrinkles. This also ensures blood supply to the extremities. I'm surprised at how many people, especially women, have cold feet. I said, don't let your feet get cold. One lady, she said, oh, my feet are always cold. She does not exercise. When you exercise, you increase the circulation of the blood to the extremities and absolutely to the skin. The movie stars pay $1,000 a week for the human growth hormone because their profession, their work is dependent on them looking good. Well, I'm offering it to you cut price today. Only 15 minutes high-intensity interval training a day will cause a release of the human growth hormone, and you will receive all the benefits. That human growth hormone remains active for 24 hours. That's a bargain. So when the human growth hormone is released, then the fat stores start getting used. So remember what I said, we've got a reversal of this process. So ideally, when we eat breakfast like a king and lunch like a queen, when we eat a lower carbohydrate diet and have high fiber, generous proteins and healthy fats, and go to bed with an empty stomach, then we get up in the morning and do our high-intensity interval training, using up all our glycogen stores and maybe a few of our fat stores. When we eat our breakfast, all we're doing is replacing the glycogen stores and there's no excess glucose to go over to fat stores. It's the most powerful weight loss program. We had a man do our program and his name was Lee. And he said to me, I am very intrigued by this, because he said, I used to be obese. So I'm going to give it to you in kilos. I know kilos. I know pounds are almost double. So he was, let's say I'm 50 kilos, which would be about 100 pound. So what he was 150 kilo. That's almost 300 pound. He said, I was obese. He said, living the good life, too much wine, too many big meals at night. He said, I realise that. I'm a businessman. He went to the doctor and the doctor said, you got to go on meds. Your blood sugars are getting too high. Your blood pressure's getting too high. Lee said, look, I'd rather try it naturally with lifestyle first. So the doctor said, well, you've got to stop the fat. Remember this theory we've been looking at, this fat phobia? Now, the paleo diet and the FODMAP diet and the keto diet, they're certainly doing a lot to to dispel this fat phobia. But there's still a little bit around, and his doctor had it. See, doctors don't study nutrition. Some doctors know nutrition, and it's usually because they've done their own research. So he said he wasn't eating much fat. He stopped the last of it. He said he went back to the doctor 3 months later, and he'd lost 2 kilos, 4 pounds. That's not much when you're 300 pounds. Doc said, no, it's not working. We've got to put you on the meds. Lee said, give me one last try. So he went home and he Googled. He Googled effective weight loss strategies. And he found the paleo diet. He found the keto diet. He went into the archives and found the Atkins diet. He said it sounded extreme, but he thought, I've got nothing to lose. So he got his carbohydrate level right down. He started to eat a lot more vegetables. He was having the meats, butters, creams, cheese, eggs. And he implemented an exercise program. He said he was amazed at how the weight was just coming off him. You can see why. He's not having a lot of carbohydrates. So every meal, he was not putting the weight back here because he had a low carbohydrate diet. And every day with his exercise, he's eating away at the fat stores. And even when he wasn't exercising, because he wasn't giving his body a lot of carbohydrates, whenever he even did brain work or anything that required energies, his fat stores are getting broken down. He was excited. He went back to the doctor three months later, and 3 months later, he had lost 40 kilo. What's that? 80 pounds. The doctor said, this is impressive. Stay on that fat-free diet. Lee decided not to tell him yet. He wanted to get to his ideal weight before he told the doctor what he was doing. But by the way, his blood sugars had come right down. His blood pressure had come right down. All his levels were looking very good. He continued on the program. He continued on the program until he was, I think, 90 kilos. What's that, 160 pounds? And for his height, that was quite a good weight. He said, I've got my mother out of aged care now. He said, I'm looking at getting her on track. But he said, what you've done is you've shown me why. You've shown me why I had those results. So with the, it's called time-restricted eating, eating twice in a six-hour period. So that's eating your breakfast like a king, lunch like a queen, and then at night, very, very lightly, if at all. But also at the same time implementing the high intensity interval training. And you can see how it starts to eat away at the fat store, especially when the human growth hormone is released. But let me show you something else that's happening. So when you start to do your high intensity, your 20 step speeds up. That's not a surprise. And the 8 step speeds up. That's not a surprise. Now there's a rate-setting enzyme in there that will always keep the 20-step faster and the 8-step slower. So what happens when a person's doing the high intensity? They're making too much pyruvate and it can't all be fed into the 8-step. And so the body stores it on the side as lactic acid. I'm sure we've all heard of lactic acid. In recovery time, when you're resting, cycling slow, on the rebound and just doing the health bounce, not leaping, walking down the hill, doing some twists or gentle stretches. In recovery time, the liver converts lactic acid back to pyruvate and feeds it in the powerhouse. You know what this means? When you're in recovery time, you're burning just as much fuel as when you're running for your life. But not only that, it's mopping up your lactic acid so you don't have those sore muscles that you would experience if you're doing the 5K jog. I think that's one of the best kept secrets about the high intensity interval training. What the researchers are showing now, and also the athletes, the trainers, that this gives their athletes an edge. And the edge is what we need. And I think we all realize that. So the exercise program is essential. The Body Must Move, in his book Pace, Dr. Al Sears, he shows another aspect of the high intensity interval training. He shows that, and let me give you a description of pace, what pace means first, progressive. And he shows it is progressive. The more you do it, the fitter you get. The more you get it, the more you do it, the more you can do the high intensity, and your recovery time becomes less and less. That's the good news. So it's progressive. Acceleration. You are moving and you are moving fast. This is no gentle stroll. So when Michael and I are doing our high intensity, we're not talking about the day because we're running so fast. C in the word pace means cardiopulmonary. So cardio meaning heart, the stronger your heart is, the less it has to beat. The stronger it gets, the more blood it pumps with every beat, and that's why it doesn't have to beat so much. So you'll find as you implement this, test your pulse, test it every couple of weeks, and you'll find it'll start to come down. It is said we only have so many beats per lifetime. So little by little it comes down, down, down. That's cardio. Pulmonary is lungs. In the Framingham Heart Study, the Framingham Heart Study is an interesting study because it was done on the little town of Framingham, about 30,000 people. This has been going for 30, 35 years. They set it up to prove that cholesterol causes heart disease, but it's not. What it's finding is that people with low cholesterol levels are having heart attacks. We had a lady from England do our program who'd had a stroke, and they found that her arteries were clear. She was very stressed out, and high stress can constrict those blood vessels as well. So what this Framingham Heart Study found, though, it found that people with high cholesterol levels don't get Alzheimer's. And when we looked at cholesterol, we looked at the fact that the brain loves fat. It's the fattiest organ in the body. And remember, fat will give more than twice the units of energy compared to glucose. But the Framingham Heart Study found that by the age of 50, most people had lost 40% lung capacity. By the age of 80, most people had lost 60% lung capacity. Why is that? It's because they're not exercising, they're not moving. So if you have lost lung capacity, you can regain it by implementing the high intensity interval training. If you have lost lung capacity, you can regain it quite quickly by stretching those lungs every day, breathing very, very deeply, which you automatically do when you do the high intensity. And if you do the high intensity every day, you will not lose your lung capacity. The lungs is where we take in the oxygen to feed that energy cycle inside the cell. And remember, that little energy cycle, when it has oxygen, it can give you 18 times more energy compared to a cell that does not have oxygen. Does this explain why so many people are tired today and have no energy? It's that lack of oxygen. So having a look at pace, progressive acceleration of cardiopulmonary exertion. You are exerting yourself. A couple of other books that talk about it. So you've got Pace by Dr. Al Sears, where he gives some different slants on it. You've got Body by Science by Dr. Doug McGuff. And you've also got Fast Diet and Fast Exercise by Dr. Michael Molesley. And when he talks about the fast exercise, he talks about, of course, the high-intensity interval training. He gives a story of a young man who was an athlete when he was at school. He was one of the fastest runners. He went into med school, and the games were coming up, and his friend said to him, have you put your name down? And they said, and by the way, you're not at the training sessions. He said, I don't have time. He said, I've got so much study to do with my medicine. So what he would do, he would study and then he would start to get tired. He would jump up and he would run right around the oval, run back into his room and go back to his studies. And sometimes he did this two or three times in the hour, especially in the afternoon when he's feeling a little bit sleepier. As the games are nearing, he thought, I love my running. I'm going to put my name down. His friends laughed. He said, and they said, we're going to beat you this year because you're not training. He said, oh, well, I'm just going to give it a go. He won the race. And they were shocked. How did he win the race? He was actually shocked. But as Michael Miseley shows, he was doing the high-intensity interval training. You see, he only did it because that's all he had time to do. He timed himself. He had about 40 seconds to run for his life and then come back to his studies. It's a very powerful form of exercise. You look at the children in the schoolyard or the school playground. I don't know if that's what you call it. I know when I was a little girl, we'd do hopscotch. When it's my turn, I'm doing high intensity. And then I have a rest. Skipping rope. When I'm skipping, I'm doing the high intensity and then it's my turn to hold the rope. Also elastics, you know, we'd have two girls that have elastics around their legs and one girl would jump in and out. We'd do the high intensity. You look at the basketball game, the soccer game. They're all moments of high intensity and then periods of recovery. Let's go to the African plains. No animal jogs, have you noticed? They either go for their life or they stop. And that's why they say don't get out of the car, because even though those lions may look like they're sleeping, if they were to see something that they could eat, they would move very fast. And science is now showing it is the most effective form of exercise. So the children do it. They run for their lives or they stop. Notice how the children run. They run on their toes. They don't run on their heels. There's a book called Body by Science by Dr. Christopher McDougall, and his book became a bestseller, very famous. He was a runner, and he noticed that his lower back and his hamstrings were always sore. So he wanted to know why. So he decided to stop work, I think, for 3 months and do a worldwide journey investigating runners. He also looked at history. And he found in 1964, there was an African runner who took home gold in both Olympic Games, and he was a barefoot runner. He was immediately intrigued. And then he found, I think it was in Mexico, he found this group of people that just love running and they always run barefoot. He found another couple of barefoot runners. He also discovered that none of these people that are barefoot running have hamstring, pelvic or lower back problems. They just don't have them. And then he looked at running. He looked at the feet and he saw that when a person has those padded joggers, it encourages them to heel strike. Obviously, when we walk, we heel strike. But when you run, you're putting a lot of pressure on that heel when you're running because your whole body weight comes down on your heel. Children run on their toes. If you're barefoot, you will not heel strike. Your body won't let you. And then he looked at the foot. And as he looked at the foot, he realized that every step when you're toe striking, your toes spread out, take the weight, the ball of your foot takes the weight, and there's like a cushioning effect on the ball of the foot compared to heel striking, which jars the heel. From this book came the barefoot runners, you know, the joggers. You can buy barefoot joggers now. Now, when I was reading this, I saw the truth on it. I saw, wow, this makes a lot of sense. It is true, children toe strike. If you barefoot run, you always toe strike. And so I bought my first pair of barefoot runners. When you buy the barefoot runners, the heel and the toe meet. So they're very thin sole. They're very movable. So I'm running up hills every day. Within the first day, by the end of the day, oh, my muscles were so sore. And that's when I realized you use totally different muscles toe striking compared to heel striking. It wasn't long before, of course, my muscles adapted to that. And it's so much fun, toe striking. It's like you're running like the wind. It's such a lovely way to run. So remember to do what children do, toe strike. Remember to do what the children do, they abdominal breathe as well. I want to introduce you to another form of exercise that you can certainly do with the interval training, and it's rebounding. Rebounding is the little mini trampoline. And with the rebounding, every single cell in the body is getting affected. There's no other exercise that affects every single cell in the body. Strength comes by defying gravity. That's the only way our strength comes. Now, I've had six babies, and I'm holding my newborn baby, and the first thing they want to do is push that head up. They're constantly pushing up, pushing up. And when you put them on the floor, after a couple of months, they're pushing up on their hands and knees, and then they're climbing up the furniture, and they're wanting to stand up. And then you put them in the cot, and they hold onto the side, and they jump. Then their body is telling them to defy gravity. And if they're lying down on the little bouncer, their legs are going, all preparing them for when they start crawling. So what effect does the rebounding have? It always used to be trampolining, and of course trampolining is much the same thing. It's just with the rebounder, you can have it in your home. I found with most parents that they don't go out there. The children definitely go out there, but the parents, not so much. So the rebounder is great. Rail, hay, or shine, you can do it. So in the discovery of why rebounding is so powerful, this is what the researchers found, is three forces come together. One is defying gravity. The other force that comes together in rebounding is acceleration. When you are leaping off the mat, you are accelerating. And then when you get to the tip of your bounce, then you experience deceleration. And deceleration, that's what you feel on the plane. I love flying. I love it when you first take off. You experience the acceleration there. And then when you're landing, that's when you feel the deceleration, especially when they brake too hard, the whole plane feels that. So when you're rebounding, you experience these three forces. These three forces come together, which explains why the rebounding has such a dramatic effect on the body. So when you leap off the mat, you're accelerating and you go to the tip, then you experience deceleration. And then, of course, gravity kicks in and down you come. And as you're coming down, you're experiencing acceleration. And then you hit the mat, you're experiencing deceleration. And so this is happening in split-second times. What it also does is it stimulates the opening of the little gates that make up your lymphatic system. We talked about the lymphatic system earlier in the week. Your lymphatic system is basically your vacuum cleaner. It sweeps away waste from the tissues. Now, I want to compare with your blood capillary system. Your blood capillary system has a muscular outer on the blood vessels. Now, the reason there's a muscular coating around the blood vessels is that when that heart pumps, you get a reverberation all through the body. And so that blood is being moved. Leviticus 17:11 says the life of the flesh is in the blood. Now the blood contains white blood cells, they're your internal army. The blood contains water, it contains nutrients, it contains oxygen. So the blood is the delivery system to every cell in the body. Any part of the body that doesn't have blood, it can quickly die because the blood's the life of the flesh. So you've got this strong pump that pumps it all through the body. And all the the blood system has this little muscular surrounding on the blood vessels. Have you ever wondered how the blood gets back to the heart? We have a second heart, and that is your calf muscle. I was at a seminar once by Dr. Jonathan Gibbs, and we were listening to this man. He's got three PhDs, and one is on the effect of exercise on the cell. Fascinating listening to him. He could see everyone was getting a little bit sleepy, so he said, "Okay, everyone stand up." He said, "Barbara, show us the second heart." And I just went like this. I just went up and down, and he laughed. He said, "Yes, the calf muscle is the second heart. That's why when people are inactive, when people are sitting down all day, sitting at desks all day, that second heart doesn't move the way it should. And when that second heart is not moving the way it should, that is contributing to varicose veins. The blood is tending to pool there. There is certainly a genetic factor there, but remember, genetics loads the gun, but it is lifestyle that pulls the trigger. And I know on the plane they often tell you, move your foot, because when you move your foot up and down, your second heart, your calf muscle starts to move. When you are rebounding, it's that second heart, that calf muscle, is the main muscle responsible for getting you up in the air. So your blood capillary system has a pump, and that is the heart. And whether you are running up a hill, whether you are just sitting down, that heart begins to pump. It just does not stop. But your lymphatic system doesn't have a pump. And your lymphatic system does not have a muscular coating. So we need to stimulate our lymphatic system. You hear a lot about the blood system, but you don't hear a lot about the lymphatic system. And yet the lymphatic system is important, because the lymphatic system is our body's vacuum cleaner. It sweeps away waste from the tissues. So we need to vacuum our house every single day. Movement, just even moving your arms and legs, does stimulate your lymphatic system, but nothing stimulates it like rebounding. So when you're on the rebounder, when you're up to your tip of your bounce, you've just gone through acceleration and you're experiencing deceleration now, every gate opens. Every gate in your lymphatic system opens. And when you come down and hit the mat, every gate closes. And when you come up again, every gate opens. So can you see there's this pumping effect that happens as you rebound to stimulate your lymphatic system? When you rebound in the morning, you only have to rebound for 2 minutes to give a powerful boost to your lymphatic system. And then through the day, a little bit of walking here, scratching your head, doing a little bit here, just little movements like this all through the day, maintain your lymphatic system being able to sweep away waste from the tissues. When we looked at the true cause of disease, we looked at how the microorganisms that change roles into bacteria, yeast and fungus, they're just opportunist organisms. They're just going to be around where there's a lot of waste. When your lymphatic system is not moving effectively, waste can build up in the tissues, and then your own microorganisms start to change roles and become the cleanup team. So it's a great way to prevent disease is to make sure you vacuum clean your body every single day. Just imagine in every office they had a rebounder. And every hour, everybody in the office, so there's 60 minutes in an hour, you could have 60 people in the office, and everyone had their time, 1 minute every hour. I would like to suggest that the office would probably close by 3 o'clock. Everyone would be going home by 3 o'clock because all the work was done. Especially in the afternoon with a big carbohydrate meal in their stomach. Maybe they had sandwiches, maybe pasta, maybe some donuts. Whoa, that's one of the main reasons why so many people get tired in that mid-afternoon. But if everyone had low carb, high fiber, generous proteins and healthy fats and were doing the rebounder every hour, they would find that their efficiency at work would be so much improved. So that's what the rebounder does. Can you do arm strengthening on the rebounder? Because it seems that a lot of work is done by the legs. And it is true, every single cell in the body is affected by rebounding. Well, you can. And what you can do to strengthen your arms is rebound. This is what I do every day. I do 10 jumps with my palms down. That strengthens. So as I'm jumping, I'm doing that. That strengthens my biceps. And after 10 jumps, I put the palm up. Now that's strengthening my triceps. So you can do the rebounder jumping for strengthening exercises. See, these are your bone strengthening exercises. These are your muscle strengthening exercises. One lady said, I went to rebound, but I've got incontinence and I felt a bit of urine leak out, so I'm not going to do that. I said, that's the very muscle that it strengthens. Just make sure you empty your bladder before you rebound and it will strengthen that muscle. I mentioned this the other day when I was talking about your pelvic girdle. The pelvic girdle is strengthened by rebounding. Every single cell in the body is affected by rebounding. You can even strengthen your eyesight by rebounding. This is what I do. Every 10 jumps, I change my focus. So in my lounge room at home is my rebounder, and I've got glass all in the front of my lounge room. And just outside, I have my Boston ferns. So they've got the big ferns with their big fronds coming down. And then in the distance down on the road, there's a fence. And then the other side of the fence, I see the cows in the paddock. I think you call it pastures. So when I rebound, the first 10 jumps, I'll focus on the frond, which means the cows in the background are all jumping up and down. And then after 10 jumps, I focus on the cows. And then in my peripheral vision, the Boston fern is jumping up and down. And I just keep doing that, depending on what is in my vision. When I was in Alabama last week, my friend Cynthia's house, her rebounder is inside. And she's got little glass window panes with white around them. So it was easy to focus on them, and her garden in the distance was jumping. And then I'd focus on her garden in the distance and then the window frames would jump. So depending on where your rebounder is and what's in your vision, you can strengthen your eyesight by doing that. Eyes are deteriorating far too long. And we did talk about that in a previous presentation where people are having too much short range. One old doctor said, we need to spend more time gazing at the mountains, gazing at the trees in the distance. And by doing that, we can strengthen our eyesight. So eyesight can be strengthened. Your arm muscles can be strengthened. And sometimes I'll go like that. And of course, you can twist and that helps the spine. I think it's important to have a balanced type of exercise. So we do the high intensity up and down the hills. We do a couple of minutes on the rebounder and also push-ups and core strengthening exercise. I find that you have to make an appointment with yourself, because if you don't make an appointment, you won't do it. So my appointment every morning, I wake at 5, I exercise at 6, and because I also dive in the creek on my way home, I don't get home till 6:30. And then I do a quick prep for breakfast. Maybe I've already got my lentils cooking, and then by 7 o'clock we're able to eat. I think it's my nurse's training that I keep to a schedule. I found too, when I was homeschooling my 6 children at home in the rainforest, if I kept to schedule, I was able to get everything done. So make an appointment with yourself. Find out what exercise works best for you and take time to do it. The best time to exercise is early morning, because you've got no food in your stomach. Make sure you're well hydrated. But also, you will reap the benefits all through the day. This is mentally, this is spiritually, this is emotionally, this is physically. So remember the statement I gave you earlier? In a short time, you will so realize the benefits of pure air and exercise, you would not live without these blessings. So let me show you a few things that you can choose. Michael and I, my husband and I, were giving a series of meetings down on the coast in Australia a couple of years ago. And so we rented a little apartment near the sea, which was very nice. It was July, so July for us is the middle of winter. And we walked along the beach every day, did a little bit of running and walking along the beach. And there was a sea pool. I love sea pools because every high tide, you're getting a total flush out. So every morning, he would hold my towel while I had the dip in the sea pool. Every morning when we went there, and yes, it was cold, but it's quick. It's very quick. In my next, tomorrow, we're going to be looking at the importance of water and how you can use it. Quick cold has a powerful effect on the body. So it was only quick. But you know what I noticed? I noticed there was this lady swimming backwards and forwards. She was there every morning. She had a wetsuit on. She had a little wetsuit cap on. She had a kickboard. She had flippers. So after about three mornings, I'm standing there and she came to the edge and I squatted down and I smiled at her. I said, "Do you mind if I ask you a few questions?" She looked up and I realized this was not a young woman. She would easily have been in her 70s. I said, "Do you mind me asking you why you're doing this?" She said, "This is my morning exercise." She said, "It works so well for me. Can't swim? Kickboard and flippers. Cold? Put a wetsuit on." I said to her, "If everyone in this little town was doing this, the doctor's surgery would be nearly empty." Just even implementing that, the body must move. But there is a way to move it that you will receive benefits lymphatically, your vacuum cleaner, but also blood. These two fluids, which are essential for the proper running of the human body, the proper elimination of waste out of the body, they're essential. See, what the lymphatic system does, it sweeps away waste from the tissues, it dumps it into the lymph nodes, which are under the arms, which are in the groin, and there are lymphocytes in there, they're a type of white blood cell, and then that's dumped into the blood, and then the blood throws the waste out via the skin, out via the urine, also out via the colon. And that's how the whole process works. We live in a self-cleaning, a self-cleansing organism, and cleaning's important, just as cleaning for our house is important. I also had a man do our program. He said, "I had a broken leg from football." He says, "I was in hospital for 3 months. He was in his mid-30s. I said, "Really?" He said, "They did an operation. It didn't quite work. They had to do another one." He said, I left that hospital room fitter than I've ever been." I said, "Excuse me? Fitter?" He said, "Yes. I got my mates to come in." He said, "They built a gym around my bed." And he said, "Every hour I do the pull-ups. I'd do the arm exercises, I'd use the one leg." I said to him, "I would endeavour to say if you hadn't done that, you would have been in hospital maybe another month." See, if there's a part of your body that can't move, use the other parts of your body and you will get your lymph and your blood moving into that part of your body that's inactive and you can increase the healing in that area. So no matter who you are, no matter what your age, no matter whether you've got a body that works well or doesn't work well, it's important for your health maintenance and recovery to find a form of exercise to do every day. And remember, muscle knows no age. Whether you're 9 or 90, you can have strong muscles. So, sorry, you can't blame age anymore. Dr. Neil Nedley, when he has a person, and he's written the book Depression, A Way Out, when he has someone who's very depressed, schizophrenic, he puts them on 7 hours of exercise a day. That's a lot of exercise. That's not 7 hours of high intensity interval training. That's maybe walking around the town, maybe walking up the hills. He said after 7 days of 7 hours exercise a day, they are so improved they can go to a 1 hour a day maintenance dose or 15 minutes high intensity interval training. That's cheap medicine, isn't it? I trust you've been inspired to implement exercise in your life.